to the show, ladies and gentlemen, on a fine Sunday afternoon as it begins to get warmer again here in Central Florida and hotter than ever in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live as we can be on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. On the bridge is Nick LoCicero, and you can be a part of the show, too. All you have to do is pick up that phone and give us a call at 407-774-8255. All right, we got a big show lined up for you again tonight. However, before we get really rocking and rolling here, I want to give you a couple of programming notes real fast. First, Abe Katzman won't be able to join us tonight. He's en route back via New York City to Jerusalem, of course, Israel, where he lives, but he'll be back with us next week. And secondly, as far as the Tampa Rays go, they're in, Seattle tonight and next couple of nights. Well, actually, no, wait a minute, let me back up a second. Tonight and tomorrow night, they're playing late games in Seattle. And so they will not interrupt our show. We'll have the full 2 hours, and then you're going to have a good share of the Larry Elder show also after us. So the first pitch, I think, is like 10:05 or 10:10 our time. And, however, on Thursday, and then they're off, I'm sorry, on Thursday. However, on Wednesday, the first pitch is, it's an afternoon ball game. The first pitch our time is like 3:35. So, unless the game is rained out or somehow otherwise postponed, you will not be able to find us Wednesday on FM 105.5 and AM 660. You'll have to go to AM660TheAnswer.com, or you'll use your smart device where you've downloaded the free app, or you can go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and hit the Listen Live button right there, big and bold, on the home page, and it'll take you to what's streaming on AM660TheAnswer.com, 24/7, whatever streaming, whether it's us, Larry Elder, Mike Gallagher, Michael Medved, whoever, that at that time, that's what you'll get via our website. Of course, you can go directly to their website as well. And, of course, if you have downloaded that free app, you're able to participate in polls and contests and things like that that aren't otherwise necessarily available. And it's real easy to do. You just go to your app store, if you got an Apple device, and search for WORL-FM-AM, or you can go to the AM660TheAnswer.com website or give Nick LoCicero a call on the phone if you got one of them Android devices. Right, Nick?
That's right, Chris. Yeah, if anyone needs help, I am here almost 24/7, it feels like. So whenever you want to call, I can help you out here. And we don't have a new poll today. I was slacking a little bit, recovering from
the
carathon.
Yeah. We'll have one up tomorrow. Yeah, we had the carathon going on last week, and once again, we want to thank you folks who helped make it a success. And once again, though, you can still contribute. And can they still contribute via the app and the web site?
They sure can. Yeah, we'll have the links still up there for most of this month. It's an ongoing thing. The radio part of it was pretty much just last week, but we're always trying to help out the Debbie Turner Resource Center.
Absolutely. And by the way, she would have been at our Taco Eaton tournament the other night had she not been over at the center to do the remote broadcast. Turns out she and McBath are like, I don't know if old flames is the right word, but certainly kindred spirits. She's a Pred head. He brought the Preds. I mean, it was like old home week over there. All right. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that. Okay. So the good news is we're not going to be affected by the Rays tonight, tomorrow night, or Thursday night, but Wednesday we will be, and Friday we'll lose the last half hour of the show. Okay, all right. We got a couple of standoffs going. It appears one in North Carolina, one in NC, and one in DC. Let's talk about the NC one first. The governor up there today has Pat McCrory has filed a lawsuit, has filed suit against the Justice Department. He's suing the Justice Department, who is threatening legal action against the state of North Carolina over this law that requires that only people who are how should I say, people who are legitimately male or female can only go into the male or female bathroom. When I say legitimately, I mean by biologically speaking. Of course, we all know that the federal government, Lois Lynch, has decided that she's going to use the Civil Rights Act as her club, so to speak, to beat up on North Carolina with. And so they have responded today with a lawsuit of their own in federal court, seeking relief from the Justice Department, who gave North Carolina until today to come up with a reason why they shouldn't do away with this law, because it's in violation of the Civil Rights Act. Their argument before the court today is, in essence, they didn't give us enough time. And that mean they being the Justice Department didn't give North Carolina enough time to mount a legal argument. And 3 days is pretty short notice, but obviously they're, the Justice Department and the Obama administration wants to make this as much of an election year issue as they can. And why not get going at it sooner rather than later, right? And, of course, now that this is in the courts, it will ensure that there will be an ongoing argument over this for a while anyway. No word yet, at least that I could find before we went on air, from the court whether or not they are inclined to side one way or the other, or what they may do. It would seem that normally what would happen in a case like this is that the federal court would say, okay, everybody just stand back. All right, we're in this thing now, and we're going to be calling the shots here. So everybody just back off. And we'll hear your arguments tomorrow or whenever the judge sets a date. And so McCrory is not backing down. And it appears as though the legislature is with him on this, that they intend to fight this and not back off of the argument that they need this law there. In interviews, McCrory has admitted, no, there was not, prior to the law passing, any instances that he could cite that would require such a law. But he said, why wait until we do have an incident? You know, what if it was your kid, right? So this is a standoff that is likely to continue for some time and obviously will be a campaign issue going into the fall. And, of course, that's exactly what the Democrats want and want all along in terms of this constituency, so to speak, because they feel that, you know, any group that that they can show to be victimized, especially by the mean old rascally Republicans, that will rally all of the other similarly victimized groups to their side as well. And it does generally work pretty well for them. So this is going to be a campaign issue. Pretty certain that this guarantees that it'll be a fairly significant campaign issue. And, of course, the courts could decide otherwise. They could pretty much put an end to this pretty quickly by telling the Justice Department that, no, it has nothing to do with Civil Rights Act. But, unfortunately, that's not the way things work in the world of legalese, the legal world. Nothing ever happens fast, nor does it ever happen or seldom happen very decisively. All right, so that is going to be a... an issue out there. It could possibly work to some conservatives' advantage, but I wouldn't look for the presumptive nominee to spend a lot of time trying to defend this North Carolina law. He is he's more likely to dance around it and say, why didn't we just leave it like it was before we even had any of these laws at all? fall, and so it's going to be a fight that if conservatives want it, they got it. But this nominee is, I talked about this a little bit last night. Part of what Trump's strategy is going to be, I'll call it parts A and parts B, in at least in terms of my diagnoses here. Part A, and it can be, you know, this could be part B, is no particular order here. In other words, one part of his strategy is going to be to compromise the liberal positions. In other words, things that could normally be used against a conservative candidate, he's not going to let them be used against him. So he's not going to, I think, get too involved in this issue, thinking that that's the kind of issue that it's a no-win for me. That's why I go down that road. It's a no-win situation for me. That if they want to have that fight, okay. But I'm more intent on beating my opponent, who is Hillary Clinton. And I'm going to do to her what Democrats have on a regular basis done to Republicans. I'm going to take her issues away from her. You've seen this in some of his remarks in some of his most recent interviews, where he talks about, well, yeah, maybe we can talk about the minimum wage. So he's beginning to take that issue away from Hillary Clinton, don't you see? This is a very smart political strategy. Now, if you're looking for somebody who's going to stand up there and make the, you know, we already know that he's not going to be making this conservative argument and go down with it. No, he is going to take issues away from the Democrats. He's going to be on their left. He's going to be on their right. He's going to be on their top. He's going to be on their bottom. And all the while, he's going to be inside their heads. So part of his strategy is going to be not to allow, shall we say, social issues that would normally be used as a hammer by Democrats against conservatives to be used in that fashion against himself. You may say, well, that's exactly why I'm not going to support him. Well, okay, that's fine. But once again, his intent now that he's gone through the Republican primary and taking care of those 16 guys and gal, his intent now is to win the general election. That is his next goal. Win the general election. And he's going to do what it takes to win the general election. And so, once again, this is a standoff in North Carolina. It's going to have implications far more, I think, with local politics and Senate races and things like that than it is on the national side. But it is a fight that needs to be carried on at some level. So perhaps everything is working out just the way it's supposed to. Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the other side, I believe, of Trump's strategy, a side that it actually inflames the passions of, disdain of the likes of the fellow who comes on right before us. Bless his heart, I love Michael Medved. We'll be right back. On the banjo. Is that Grant Malloy?
Sure sounds like it.
We got actually a press release from Grant I'll be reading a little bit later on in the show. Of course, that's the Family Feud tune. I didn't know you used that during your show.
Of course we do. We play our version, the Family Feud, during WDWNT.
Cute. Tell everybody real quick when that show airs also, where they can hear it.
Oh, every Wednesday night, live 9 to 11 on 1520 WBZW or online. And we talk all about Disney for 2 hours. And when we play the Family Feud, we have two teams of WDW fans, Disney fans, on each side going against each other.
Ah, it sounds like a lot of fun. Are you been talking to anything about the Invictus games out there?
A little bit. Most Disney fans That's more a sports fan thing. Yeah. I know it's happening at Disney, and it's pretty cool to see all these athletes coming here. It really is a great thing. But, yeah, that's more on the sports fan side of things. I know ESPN's out there and stuff.
Yeah, they are. All right, yeah, it's a great thing what they're doing out there. We talked a little bit about it on the show last night, which you can find at our archives at our brand-new website, AmericanAdversaries.com. And James Buckland's going to be here a little bit later on, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And but first, I want to get back to the Family Feud. Of course, that's the Republican Family Feud going on in Washington, D.C., where you got some posturing going on between Paul Ryan and Donald Trump. And Donald Trump basically, you know, can't understand why everybody doesn't want to come kiss his ring now or whatever. And who can blame him, right? The way he walked through those opponents of his like a hot knife through butter. But Bobby Jindal, by the way, is another added to the list today who is going to back Donald Trump and is willing to support him. But the feud goes on. Of course, we know the Bushes. We know Ben Sasse, the senator from Nebraska. We know that Paul Ryan is having a hard time coming to terms with the nominee, why he's even willing now to give up his chairmanship of the Republican convention if that's what Mr. Trump wants. And, of course, his intent is to maintain his majority in the House, his little fiefdom. He, of course, he's doesn't want I don't want either, you know, as much as I have lack of confidence in his leadership abilities, then nonetheless, I certainly don't want old Nancy Pelosi back in the speakership with that big old gavel of hers, right? No, but once these guys always figure out a way to make things more difficult on themselves. Right now, what would be the best for the party would be for the party to unify around the leader and try to be as much of an influence on him as possible, but also to rally the party toward victory. And you do that by rallying together. You do that by embracing one another, not, you know, shying away and looking askance or something like that. This is not the right time for Mr. St. Pauli girl to play coy and like some shy schoolgirl who needs to be courted. He needs to grow up, stand up, and say, okay, well, here's our general. The people have appointed our general, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that this general is a success. And you can go back and call him Captain Crunch or whatever you want to behind closed doors, but he is our general in this fight now. And we get behind our general to defeat the other side in this battle. And it is going to be a battle, which gets me to part two of Donald Trump's strategy, which leaves Michael Medved, in hysterics. And that is he is going to go after Bill Clinton. And the reason he's going to go after Bill Clinton is because he's using her to go after Hillary Clinton. And after the break, we're going to come back with a series for a while called The Dumb and the Feckless to the music of The Young and the Reckless. And we had for a short period of time a spinoff of The Dumb and the Feckless called The Scum and the Vicious. And we're going to have another episode of The Scum and the Vicious. Here's the reason why Donald Trump is going to go after Bill Clinton to get to Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton was a part of everything that Bill Clinton did with these women. And here she wants to play the hypocritical role and get away with it of being the women's champion. You know, women's rights are human rights are women's rights, and all this business, right? And while all along she was the attack dog, one of, at least, the attack dogs to go after all of these women who had been raped and otherwise abused. Yes, I said raped and otherwise abused by one William Jefferson Clinton. And there's the doggone on bushes. Now, the old George W. himself was in town last night. I hope maybe you heard a little bit of our Sunday night show. But there we got the bushes that they're willing to take in Bill Clinton and make him their like their stepson and stepbrother and Bubba and Bro and Debbie and all that. They get along. Oh, yeah, he's a wonderful lad. Yeah, yeah. He's a rapist. And she enabled him to be a rapist. This must be used by the candidate to make it clear to the American public what they're getting. Because a lot of them evidently aren't clear with it or a little bit queasy with it. But her hypocrisy, her viciousness, her misogyny must be exposed. And I'm sorry for the likes of Michael Medved and others who are just going to be beside themselves because they think it is the wrong track. Well, because we don't go there is why we get our brains beat in by these criminals and progressives and liberals and communists. Well, this time we are going to go there. We are. Welcome to tonight's episode of The Scum and the Vicious, adapted by the book The Clintons' War on Women by Roger Stone and Robert Morrow. We join the testimony of one Juanita Broderick. On April 25th, 1978, Arkansas Attorney General Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick without a condom and savagely bit her top lip to subdue her. Broderick was a county coordinator for Bill and a volunteer in his 78 gubernatorial campaign. She had come to Little Rock to attend a nursing conference and was lodged at the Camelot Hotel. A week prior, Clinton, on a campaign stop, had visited the nursing home where Broderick worked and invited her to tour his headquarters upon arrival in the capital city. She called Clinton and asked to meet him at his office. Clinton offered the downstairs coffee shop in her hotel as an alternative. Broderick agreed. Clinton again called and suggested Broderick's hotel room as a meeting spot. "I was a little bit uneasy," Broderick recalled, "but I felt a real friendship toward this man, and I didn't really feel any danger in him coming to my room." After all, Clinton at the time was the state's top law enforcement official with a bid in place to become the de facto head of Arkansas. Once he arrived, though, it did not take Clinton long to drop any pretenses and make a hard, forceful advance. In what would become a trademark of his sexual assaults, Clinton violently bit Juanita's upper lip and threw her on the bed. "I was just so very frightened, and I tried to get away from him, and I told him no, that I didn't want this to happen, but he wouldn't listen to me," Broderick recalled. Clinton was such a different person at the moment. He was just a vicious, awful person. "It was a real panicky situation. I was even to the point where I was getting very noisy, you know, yelling to please stop. And that's when he pressed down on my right shoulder, and he would bite my lip." Clinton raped Broderick twice within a span of 30 minutes. Broderick said she will never forget how Clinton calmly donned his sunglasses shortly afterwards. He then offered a suggestion for her mangled lips. "You better get some ice on that," he said. He told Juanita not to worry about getting pregnant because he had the mumps as a kid and was sterile. Incredibly, a few months earlier, Clinton had impregnated his mistress, Jennifer Flowers, and given her $200 to get an abortion. 13 years after the assault, in March of 1991, Clinton pulled Broderick out of a healthcare conference. "Can you ever forgive me? That was the old me. I'm not the same now. I'm a new man," Clinton told her. Candace Jackson reported that a stunned Broderick told Clinton to go to hell and walked away. Later that year, Clinton announced his run, and Broderick deemed his surprising apology to be a purely political gesture. Hillary Clinton or Hillary Rodham, as she demanded to be called back then, found out very soon after the assault of Broderick that her husband had raped the young volunteer. Larry Nichols, a Clinton insider at the time, said Hillary rushed into a campaign office and screamed, "You'll never believe what the mother fracker did now. He tried to rape some B-word." Instead of calling the police, she immediately began covering for her political partner. Hillary had experience with this. In 1975, as a young lawyer, she had successfully defended an accused rapist. Hillary said she was doing her professional duty. The victim said Hillary intentionally lied about her in court documents, and Hillary also acknowledged the attacker's guilt, laughing about it on an unearthed audio recording. "Hillary Clinton took me through hell," the victim said. "I would say to her, 'You took a case of mine in 75. You lied on me. I realize the truth now, the heart of what you've done to me, and you're supposed to be for women? You call that being for women, what you done to me? And I hear you on tape laughing?'" In Hillary's estimation, she was just doing her job. "When you're a lawyer, you often don't have the choice to choose who you will represent. And by the very nature of criminal law, there will be those who you represent that you won't approve of," Hillary said. "But at least in our system, you have an obligation. And once I was appointed, I fulfilled that obligation." Following physical assault at the hands of Bill, Broderick was psychologically assaulted by Hillary, again fulfilling her obligation. Yet decades later, in 2013, with her eyes on the presidency, Hillary would declare that the fight for women's rights was unfinished business, and that women's rights are human rights, and human rights are women's rights once and for all. Hillary now stumps around the country fighting for the unheard voice of women. But years ago, she fought to silence those same voices. They were victims of her husband's sexual deviance, and she fought to keep their stories suppressed. It took 22 years for Broderick to finally tell Hillary what she thought of her. On October 15, 2000, during the last year of the Clinton presidency, Broderick wrote the following open letter to Hillary Clinton. It was widely published online and began, "Do you remember? Do you remember? As I watched Rick Lazio's interview on Fox News this morning, I felt compelled to write this open letter to you, Mrs. Clinton. Britt Hume asked Mr. Lazio's views regarding you as a person and how he perceived you as a candidate. Rick Lazio did not answer the question, but I know that I can. You know it too. I have no doubt that you are the same conniving, self-serving person you were 22 years ago when I had the misfortune to meet you. When I see you on television campaigning for the New York Senate race, I can see the same hypocrisy in your face that you displayed to me one evening in 1978. You have not changed. I remember it as though it was yesterday. I only wish that it were yesterday, and maybe there would still be time to do something about what your husband, Bill Clinton, did to me. There was a political rally for Mr. Clinton's bid for governor of Arkansas. I had obligated myself to be at this rally prior to my being assaulted by your husband in April 1978. I had made up my mind to make an appearance and then leave as soon as the two of you arrived. This was a big mistake, but I was still in a state of shock and denial. You had questioned the gentleman who drove you and Mr. Clinton from the airport. You asked him about me and if I would be at the gathering. Do you remember? You told the driver, 'Bill has talked so much about Juanita, and that you are so anxious to meet me.' Well, you wasted no time. As soon as you entered the room, you came directly to me and grabbed my hand. Do you remember how you thanked me, saying, 'We want to thank you for everything you did for Bill'? At that point, I was pretty shaken and started to walk off. Remember how you kept a tight grip on my hand and drew closer to me? You repeated your statement, but this time with a coldness and a look that I have seen many times on television in the last 8 years. You said, "Everything you did for Bill." You then released your grip, and I said nothing and left the gathering. What did you mean, Hillary? Were you referring to my keeping quiet about the assault I had suffered at the hands of your husband only 2 weeks before? Were you warning me to continue to keep quiet? We both know the answer to that question. Yes, I can answer Britt Hume's question. You are the same Hillary that you were 20 years ago. You are cold, calculating, and self-serving. You cannot tolerate the thought that you will soon be without the power you have wielded for the last 8 years. Your effort to stay in power will be at the expense of the state of New York. I only hope the voters of New York will wake up in time and realize that Hillary Clinton is not an honorable or honest person. I will end by asking if you believe the statements I made on NBC Dateline when Lisa Myers asked if I had been assaulted and raped by your husband. Or perhaps you, like Vice President Gore, did not see the interview. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come out of our today's episode of The Scum and the Vicious. All right, let's go to Eva. She's been patiently waiting on the line, and then we got Dan. Eva, you are up next. Thank you for calling tonight.
Yes, I just want to say the leadership of the Republican Party has got to do what we've been doing for the last 3 cycles, hold the nose and vote. All they come out, and when they pick who they select, because we did not vote on it. And one thing Donald Trump has proved is they have been selecting. They haven't been letting us vote properly because they had the inside scoop, but Donald Trump has brought that to attention, and believe me, that won't happen anymore.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'd rather say hold their breath, maybe, and vote than hold their nose.
I don't care what they hold.
I hear that, lady. You got that right, yeah.
That story that you read from the book.
Yeah.
You can see it. It's in her eyes. Look at her eyes when she's on TV. She can't look at you.
Yeah.
She looks off.
Yeah.
You look, next time Sarah Palin's on there, look how she looks in the camera. Hillary never looks in the camera. That's guilt.
Yeah, she got the shifty eyes. She does.
Yeah.
She is. She's got a criminal mind.
The thing of it is these women, they say that the women that supporting her are people that the older black women, that's what they say. Well, the older black women are pretty self-reliant, and if they would depend on the Lord, like the news media said they do, they don't need Hillary Clinton. She's supposedly going to the suburbs. Now, these are people with college education and no values, most of them.
Well, I can't say that. Well, yeah.
I used to say, there used to be a saying, if you're uneducated, the Bible's for you. If you college, you have an open mind, so you don't need the Bible.
Well,
they always used to say the Bible is for to keep the masses dumb.
Well, that's a takeoff of sort of a Marxist thing that religion
exactly.
is the opiate
and
of the people,
thing of
right?
It is,
yeah, the intellectuals think they're too smart for that.
God, what's right? you know which one's dumb. The people that go to college and don't think about God's the dumb ones.
Well, all I know is that a bunch of them college-educated jerks and jerkesses have got us $20 trillion in debt, a military that's decimated, the smallest army now in decades since prior to World War I, and got the world in turmoil. So much for that higher education, right? All right, thank you, Eva. I appreciate you being out there. You know, I understand her sentiment that, for a long time we have gone lockstep with what the party has come up with, and even though they weren't our ideal candidates, we, most of us anyway, went on down, trudged on down to the election, to the polling places, and did our duty, so to speak. And now they're all upset because they weren't able to do what they normally do this time. And, well, they're just going to have to get over it. And one way or the other, they'll either get on board or get out of the way. That's basically their choices. And Donald Trump, for all of his, if you want to call him personality quirks, flaws, or however you want to characterize him, he's never done anything like the Clintons have participated in. They are a crime family. These two work together to assault people, to rob people, to take advantage of people, and they are very good at it. Let's next go to Dan, General Dan, I might add. General Dan of the American Adversaries Army, thank you for being with us tonight.
Hey, how's it going, guy?
Good, good.
Actually, it's General Catherine, my wife. I used her credit card on my eBay account, so I have to give her props. General Catherine. I'm kind of like the private Dan, but I'll go with that. Probably, you know, she's probably listening right now. But I just wanted to call and tell you
let's
guys
just say,
the reason.
Real quick, let's just say you got your priorities right.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. After 43 years, I've got them. She's got them straight for me.
Oh well, congratulations.
But I just wanted to call in and tell you that the reason why I support your cause is because of exactly what you just right there, what you read on the radio, and that needs to get out to a lot of these young voters that don't really understand and realize what actually happened back then, and it really needs to get out. And I really want to thank you for the cause that you're fighting, because Donald needs all the help he can get, because he's just going to be overwhelmed, or they're going to try to overwhelm him, but we have a fighter this time. We haven't had a Republican candidate that actually knew how to fight. Donald will take the gloves off, and he'll get down and get dirty, and I just wanted to say, go Donald.
Hey, I hear you, Dan. We're right there, my man. We're going to be in this fight and right to the end. And win or lose, it's going to be a great fight to be in, because we are on the right side. And, yeah, Donald Trump, this is the thing that people like Michael Medved and others can't seem to get over, and that is that he is going to use the same tactics that the Democrats have used against us, which means that he's going to play dirty. For lack of a better word, he's going to do what it takes. And this is a line of attack that should be taken against the Clintons. I mean, how often have we talked about, and have you folks called in our frustration that Republicans won't go after Democrats and say things in public, what we know. And, well, that's what he's doing, and that's what he's going to continue to do. And Michael Medved's just going to have to get used to it. And I guess it's not going to be satisfactory for Michael Medved for Trump to do this. So I guess we can't count on Michael Medved's vote. I guess, well, that'll just have to be okay. You know, all I can say is, you know, when the trumpets are sounding, you know, on Judgment Day, and old St. Peter, whoever looks down at you and goes, what were you doing back there in 2016 when we had a big fight going on down yonder, and we sent in our warrior, and you didn't like the way he was dressed. What did you do? Well, I sat on the sidelines. You know, I lived up to my principles. I wasn't going to dirty my hands with such an individual as that. Oh, you sat on the sidelines? Oh. Okay, well, we got another tough fight coming up, so I guess we don't need you. That's not what I want to hear. Okay? I'm not going to question. I'm just going to do. And let's do this. Let's take Diane's phone call. Hey, Diane.
Hey, you. How are you?
Excellent. How about you tonight?
I'm great.
Excellent. Excellent.
I think this North Carolina thing is awesome. I love what they're doing.
I do, too.
And this just proves to me that we totally need to be working on the Convention of the States.
Because it would give this. You're talking about now. You're talking about an open convention or a convention where a certain amendment would be at stake.
No, we're the convention of the states where we're going to get all the states together, and we're going to take back states' powers.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That would be that would be an open convention. Yeah, and it would be a constitutional convention. Those are very difficult to do. What the petition or the actual drives that are showing not just a moderate but a significant degree of success that are going around right now is, for instance, there's one for an amendment for a balanced budget, which has got like 34 of the 38 states or something like that signed up for it. So yeah, that's one way to go about it. But I also like that they took it back to the Justice Department and said, okay, you want to fight? Let's go down to the federal courthouse and have us a fight.
Absolutely. And I've got lots of family members in North Carolina, and they're so in on it.
Yeah. So this is the kind of thing that can work for the conservative cause. Like I said, don't expect Donald Trump to get involved in this fight, but that's okay.
I don't care what he does.
Well, that's okay.
We need to get the states' rights back and take it back and tell the federal government to go pound sand.
Well, see, that's what I was just getting ready to say, is that we need to be attacking on all fronts. You follow what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
This fight is a state fight, and it's a states' rights issue fight. So let's have the states attack and fight on that level. He'll be attacking and fighting on his level.
And I believe that's true of almost everything that's going on. We have relegated the federal government to take over everything. We need to get this country straight with the states' rights. And if you don't like what your state's doing, freaking move.
Well, that's it. The whole purpose of the 10th Amendment is to do that, and this is one way to begin to reassert that. And they're using the adversarial form of government to do it. It'll be both political and legal. So it's going to be sort of the best of both worlds for that fight. And it's a fight, obviously, both sides want to have, so it's going to continue for some time. We'll see what the court decides, though. In the short term, my guess is that they're going to say, okay, let's have some hearings. So everybody just hold it for now.
Yeah. So it's going to be a long time coming, like you said.
Yep. So good to hear from you.
And your Hillary Clinton voice is sounding a little too real.
That was Nick. He's going, no, don't blame me. All right, thank you so much, Diane.
Thanks.
All right, it's always great to hear from you. All right, and she is an officer in the American Adversaries Army. All right, we do have to take a break, and indeed it is a hard break, so I can't extend the segment. So, John, please stay with us. Ed, please stay with us. We'll get to your phone calls on the other side. Also, James, Buckland. I had it right earlier. James Buckland is with me in the studio, and we're going to go over a couple more things about our brand new website. And we're still tweaking in, but it's alive. It's a life, so to speak. So it's not that we're ever going to be done with it. So if you have any suggestions, we want to hear those too. Anyway, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Our brand new website, because we are so proud of it. I'll tell you what, I'm like a dog with a tick. I
mean,
a dog with a bone, that's right. All right, we are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time Prime Time on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer, and all across Central Florida. Thank you for being with us. We really appreciate you being a part of our audience. All right, Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. I am am Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me now is Mike Bass of Prime Quest Wealth Strategies, and a good, true American and conservative himself. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great this morning, this afternoon, I guess. On Monday. It's on Monday. I'm still trying to figure out where I am.
Oh, boy, I was kind of dragging all day myself, I must say. Also in the studio is James Buckland, and he has put together our brand new website, and he's also been putting together his wife's brand new famous gourmet bakery. It's what's it called again?
Dreamy Cakes.
Dreamy Cakes Gourmet Bakery, and it's going to be opening very soon up in Sanford. We're going to tell you more about that. Also with us tonight is Kathy Santomassino. She worked very closely with James in designing and getting this website up and going, and of course she's a part of our Sunday evening crowd. So if you don't catch us on Sunday nights, you can always hear that show at our archive at our brand new website, AmericanAdversaries.com. And we got a couple of phone callers on the line. But real quick, Friday we were giving out tickets to the Shriners Circus. And the people who called in Friday to get those tickets, you either got them today or you'll get them very shortly because they were put in the mail Saturday. But we still have some left. So, and we got enough that if you want to call in and tell us how many tickets you would like, we should be able to fill that order for you. Now, the Shriners Circus is coming up a week from this Friday, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And down at the Silver Spurs Rodeo Arena down in Kissimmee. Now, the tickets normally would sell for $16 each. They are yours for the asking, as many as you like. As long as it's reasonable, as many as you like. And we gave out, one person the other day, we gave out a dozen, two. We gave out like 6, 8, 9, 10. So if you want some of those tickets, call us right now, 407-774-8255. Give Nick your address, name, address, and how many tickets you would like, and we'll get them in the mail to you this week so you can take in the circus. Let's go back to the phone lines because we have a couple of callers who have been patiently holding. John, you are up next. Thank you for calling.
Chris.
Howdy, howdy. How are you doing tonight, John?
I want to run something past you here.
All right.
Donald Trump deals with the construction industry, the building industry, with local, city, and state government, with the sport and recreational industry, and the business industry. And if anybody realizes, I know he does, that when you are messing with a bunch of pigs, you got to get in the mud. So I think that anybody that doesn't think that Donald Trump doesn't know what he's doing and how to handle Hillary Clinton is sadly mistaken.
Well, see, and it's sort of counterintuitive to people of the political elite class. They can't understand why a guy who is polling so badly amongst women would attack a woman presidential candidate. But in fact, because that woman happens to be Hillary Clinton, who aided and abetted a rapist, that is the exact attack you need to take against her. You need to show that she enabled a sexual predator. You need to turn the sisterhood against her. And there are already a lot of women out there who know Hillary Clinton, and they hate her for that very reason.
Hillary Clinton is a conniving sociopath.
Indeed she is, and she needs to be exposed for that. You don't run away from that. You expose it. And then if you lose, you say, okay, everybody, you lost, but now you know what you're getting.
That's right.
You don't run away from that. You run into it. You run headlong.
On the table.
Exactly. That is going to be her weak spot. She thinks it's her strong card, the woman's card. She's had a deck of cards made up. Oh, yeah, I'll play that hand, she says. Uh-huh. Well, that hand is going to turn out to be a losing hand because of what you have played in the past, and that this guy is going to bring it out. He's going to bring it out ad nauseum, and people are going to get so sick of it, they're going to look at her and say, why did you do that all those years? He wouldn't be saying this.
All we've heard out of her is, I can't remember, I didn't do it, I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Or I forgot.
Yeah, well, and then that's when Trump marches out Juanita Broderick. And believe me, these women, I believe, are ready and raring to go. And we saw a while back Hillary ran a Clinton against Trump. This was several weeks ago, where she had women quoting some of the things that he said, but they were saying the quotes, like some of the things he said about Rosie O'Donnell and the thing he said about Megyn Kelly. But they were using, you know, it was regular women saying his quotes about other women. Well, I would counter that with an ad of all the Clinton women relating their experiences with her husband and at what she did to them.
You got
and believe
that
right. me, if they're willing, I believe that is a coming. All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Appreciate you being out there. Ed is up next. Ed, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, Chris.
Howdy, Ed. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah. I pulled out my Constitution again, and I looked in the enumerated powers, and I said, I don't see anywhere that's enumerated powers of the federal government that they have the rights to tell the states how to run their public restroom. What is with these people?
Well,
I North Carolina is right on. Nullification is what it's called. And Jefferson and Madison wrote the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions,
yep,
which said that the states had the right to nullify unconstitutional laws like this.
Yeah, well, what is happening is this administration has never let that stop them before, and so they're not about to let it stop them this time. They're going to make it, you know, they're going to make a political and legal issue out of it. They'll make the courts fight them back, and then they'll make the political issue argument out of that, and why we need, you know, more to elect more liberals, why we need more liberal judges on the court, that sort of thing. And so, you know, they're okay with that. That they know that. But, hey, you know, who can blame them for trying? I mean, look at what they've been able to get away with.
It's right on this issue. It's time that the states stand up and say, no, we're not going to allow you to dictate our social behaviors. That's left for the states, and the states set their own standards.
And go ahead, Mike.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is they're attaching it to the Civil Rights Bill.
Well, yeah.
And here's what they never did. No one had the guts to go after the Civil Rights Bill because there's unconstitutional things in the Civil Rights Bill. And no one wanted to touch that because it was too hot. And so that's why you got what you got today, because nobody had the guts back in the 60s to take that thing on.
Right.
And now what they're doing is they're piggybacking on unconstitutional issues out of the Civil Rights Bill.
Right. And you're right. That's the legal authority that they're using, yep, is that Civil Rights Bill. But nonetheless, it does set up a states' rights argument and nullification like what Ed is talking about here. But really what they want the fight more than anything else. I mean, obviously if they can win the fight in short order, that's okay. But really what they want is a protracted political fight out of this, which is why Trump, I believe, is going to be clever enough not to engage so much in that fight. He's going to say, hey, yeah, if you know, Caitlyn Jenner wants to use my bathroom, she's welcome to. So, but
there you go.
But it is a fight that does need to be taken up by the states. They do yep need to make their case. And by the way, that is where Obama has been thwarted. For instance, with the immigration thing, when he wanted to basically give them all amnesty, it was the state of Texas and other states who took him to court and are now pressing their case at the Supreme Court. It wasn't Congress or somebody else, you know, shutting off his funds or actually doing something. It was the states who stood in Obama's way. So, yeah. All right. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate you being out there. Thanks so much. And, it is a fight that the states should engage. And like I said, we should be engaging the fight at all levels of government and at all levels of the legal system. That is what the liberals have done to us. We need to turn the tables now and do the same thing to them. Okay, with our new website being up, AmericanAdversaries.com, we got some stuff that we're going on that we didn't really do with the older website. Like, for instance, our Wall of Fame, where we've got pictures that we're putting up from our events and from people who come into the studio and everything. And we've got, for instance, pictures of us at the special screening of Black Hawk Down with the Rangers and Colonel McKnight and and you'll be able to see them there. We've got pictures that we'll be putting up of Colonel McKnight and Mike and Congressman Micah and us from the BizFest from last week. We've got pictures from the Tijuana Eating Contest that we'll be putting up. We got a picture that we put up of Mike McBath and I with or is that Mike McBath with me? No, I guess that would be Mike McBath and I with Debbie Turner at the Debbie Turner Cancer Care and Resource Center. And so that'll be another reason why you might want to check us out. If not on a daily basis, at least check us out on a weekly basis. And we're going to be much more active with this website than we have been before. And you can be active, too. There's a contact button at the bottom of each page. Right, James, you were telling us?
That's correct.
So how can people use that again?
They can make a comment or make
just hit that
feedback
button, and it'll go to their type thing or whatever.
Exactly.
All right, and then we'll be getting those, and we'll be responding to those in one way, shape, or form. So once again, AmericanAdversaries.com is the new website, and we got great ads up there for all of our sponsors. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side, because if you'd like to be have an advertisement on our website, not necessarily on the show itself, but on the website, we have got those available as well. All right, so we got that to talk about tonight. We got some news breaking from the Grant Malloy campaign that we'll be talking about. And who knows, we might even have the candidate himself, Grant Malloy, join us on the show. You can as well at 407-774-8255. And if you want any of those Shriner tickets, all you got to do is call up and ask Nick, please, can we have some Shriner tickets? And he'll say, how many you want? We'll be right back.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home...
All right. Yeah, he's digging deep into the bumps there. I haven't heard that one for a while. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And real quickly, before we get back into the meat of things here, so to speak, we are giving away Shriners tickets. These are complimentary of Dr. Ken Vihek, who is himself, of course, a Shriner. The Shriner Circus is coming to town the 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Silver Spurs Arena down there in Kissimmee. These tickets sell for $16 each. They're free for the asking as long as they hold out, and we still have quite a few more, enough to handle your request here today, I'm sure. And we'll mail them out to you. Just call in at 407-774-8255 and give Nick your address, name, address, and how many tickets you want, and we'll get them in the mail to you. And they are for any performance on any one of those days. And so if you can't go on Friday, you can use them on Saturday or Sunday or whatever. Whatever works for you, these tickets will do the trick. All right, we got on the line right now, we got several callers, but I want to go to Grant Malloy. We'll get to you other callers here if you'll just be patient with us. Grant has been holding, and Grant is, of course, a big friend of the show. He is... a great conservative, a former member of the Seminole County Commission, and the only reason he's not still a member is because he term limited himself out. It was a campaign promise that he made and kept, and he's got a press release out which basically goes once more to his integrity. Because he makes five claims in his campaign literature, and this has been, they have all been confirmed to be true. Let me just read a little bit of this, okay? This is Grant Malloy announces five key differences between he and his opponents in his campaign for the clerk of the Circuit Court of Seminole County. And it says, for immediate release, Oviedo, Florida, Dateline. On Saturday, the Grant Malloy campaign posted an online graphic highlighting five facts that separated Grant from his opposition in the upcoming race for Seminole County Clerk of the Circuit Court and Comptroller. The Sammy Gibson campaign quickly responded, and the facts were graded by his consultant and then posted online. Grant was given a passing grade on these five facts. And let me read the five facts to you, and then we'll go right to Grant Malloy. Fact number one, he has not hired political campaign consultants. His statement is, if you can't run your own campaign, how will you run the courthouse? He has a record of cutting his own budget as a public servant and spending no taxpayer money on pension. He didn't accept a pension. He didn't spend any taxpayer money on travel or furniture when he served in the Seminole County Commission. Number three. He was the first in this race to pre-qualify by petition using only volunteers. And he made that announcement, by the way, right here on our show. Grant used only volunteers to collect over 3,600 petitions to appear on the ballot rather than use annoying robocalls or just dropping material without explanation, either in the mail or at your door. Number four, Grant has a history of protecting the comptroller office. In 2006, Grant led the effort to educate voters and successfully defeated an irresponsible proposal that would have eliminated the independent taxpayer watchdog over county spending. Number five, Grant has no potential conflicts, has not and will not seek the endorsement or support of judges, sheriff, public defender, or state attorney. In the courtroom, the clerk's staff should be 100% neutral and independent. These facts were reviewed and given a passing grade by Sammy Gibson's campaign consultant. The only things found wrong originally were spelling errors. Shame on you, Grant. For details, visit grantmalloy.com. That's Grant Malloy with one L, grantmalloy.com. Grant, great work that you're doing out there, and I wish I lived in Seminole County so I could vote for you, but certainly you got my support, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. Yeah, we've been having a lot of fun with the campaign, and we've been getting a really good response from people when we're knocking on doors, and we had a lot of people we took a break for Mother's Day, but the week before we had over a dozen people out in the Oviedo area and been having a good time with this. And this is a funny thing about politics. I mean, I'm out trying to talk about issues, and you mentioned those 5 points. You know, when we put out a little Facebook post, you know, with those 5 points, and I think there are clear differences between me and the other opponents, and it's differences that connect to people. You know, people are tired of all the political consultants and, you know, all the nonsense you hear in these campaigns and the insiders controlling politics. So, I'm the one that's really outside of that. It has nothing to do with it. I'm just out talking to the people. So when we posted this little thing, I even knew it had one typo in it, but I thought, well, go ahead and post it. A volunteer sent it to me. I said, go ahead and post it. I'm driving to play banjo at the Bluegrass Festival up in Apopka over the weekend. And so I told him, go ahead and post it. I know it's got a typo. And I'm thinking, on the weekend, what? There's only like 100 people look at your post when you put it out. So they put it out, and then the other campaign starts attacking me on typos. And before you know it, it has over 2,000 views. So they did me a big favor. So I might try to misspell things more often on my flyers so that these campaign consultants that are trying to make me look silly will help me promote it.
Real quick, who is Sammy Gibson? You quote the Sammy Gibson campaign in there.
He's one of the one of the other candidates in the clerk's race. So Jesse Phillips is his campaign consultant that was attacking me on Facebook.
I wanted to point out that they tried to attack you on the substance of what you said. They could not. So essence, they had to attack you on a couple of spelling errors, but admitted that what you said was correct.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I'm always more concerned about, what am I saying? Is it correct? Am I being accurate? You know, because I don't want to mislead people. You know, you've got a whole lot of other candidates that are doing their best to mislead people. I'm always trying to be very accurate. So when I say, hey, I'm the only one that hasn't hired a political campaign consultant, you know, how can you? These guys are going around saying they're auditors and all this sort of thing, but, you know, they can't even run their own campaigns. You know, one of them can't even, you know, they have to hire a CPA to do their own campaign reports. You know, it's kind of funny in a way. So I'm the only one that hasn't hired these expensive political consultants. So I thought that would be a nice difference to point out to people.
Yeah.
So, so they're not attacking those issues. You know, I have a record of being there protecting this comptroller office when the charter review tried to get rid of our taxpayer watchdog in 2006. Yeah. I led the political committee to protect that office.
Grant, once again, how can people help you out? Because I'm coming up on a break.
Yes, grantmalloy.com is our website, 1L and Malloy. And if they want to call me, you can call me on my cell phone. I'm always available, 407-928-2397. And the election's August 30th. Early voting starts August 20th. This is in the Republican primary in Seminole County. This is a very important office. It's your taxpayer watchdog, and it's your gateway to the justice system.
Hey, real quick, is that a closed primary?
You won't know until...
Hey, this is Johnny B. Badd, the bad man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right, welcome back to the show, and that Grant Malloy is a great guy. And please help him out, because he is fighting as an outsider. He's not one of the establishment types. You got two basically establishment candidates who are being well-funded. But Grant is the guy with all of the integrity and, I dare say, the know-how, right, Mike? You know Grant.
Yeah, absolutely. Grant is the most qualified without question, and he's demonstrated being a watchdog of the county's money as a county commissioner for 8 years.
And
he's backed by Marion Morris, who was the current clerk of the court and comptroller. She watched him as county commissioner, that's why she wanted to back him, because she saw what he did.
So. And Mike was explaining a little bit more in detail during the break why there's actually a pretty significant issue at stake in this campaign, because Grant's two opponents want to separate the comptroller's duties away from the clerk and give them to who?
Give them to the county manager.
The county manager who's hired by
and can be fired by the county commissioner,
and whose comptroller the job is to oversee
the spending of the county commission.
A little conflict of interest that we would have there. And
huge.
Marianne Morris saw how Grant, what he was talking about there at the end, he prevented that from happening before.
Yeah.
They want to do it. These other two candidates want to do it to put more power in the county commission's hands.
Yes.
And the power, it would, as you put it, it would be like the...
Putting the fox in the hen house.
Putting the fox in charge of the hen house is exactly what it would be. And James, did you just put Grant Malloy in? Where can people find him?
He's at the bottom of the links on Liberty Links.
The Liberty page. Links page.
Right.
And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and categorize some of the links so they'll be a little bit easier to find. And we'll have candidates. We'll have a candidates category, and Grant will be in there. We'll put Trump in there, and we'll put some other candidates. Local and state candidates will be in there. And if you're a candidate and you want to be in there, contact us, and we'll consider it. And then we'll have our other links with our various groups that we help out and that we try to support. Like the Debbie Turner Cancer Care and Resource Center and things like that. So that's on the Liberty Links page of our brand new website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Let's go back now to the phone lines where we have Frank and then Matt. Frank, thank you for calling and holding tonight.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
I'm by no means a big Don McCain fan, okay? But his stock went way up with me today.
Who? I'm sorry, you broke up there.
John McCain,
because why?
Well, I've never been a big fan of his, but his stock went way up with me today.
Because he backed Trump?
He's telling the other Republicans, look, we got to unify behind this guy, I give credit for that, because he's basically an establishment guy, what I'm saying?
Well, not only that, but he was one of the first people that Trump really, supposedly destroyed himself over, right?
Yeah,
with that comment.
A little bit with, yeah.
Yeah, so that is very big of John McCain. So, his stock has gone up with me, too. I knew that he had said he would support and endorse Trump. I didn't know he had gone so far as to say that others should quit whining and get on the bandwagon
here.
Yeah.
I just Obama... First of all, kudos to North Carolina for fighting this guy. But you know what reminds me of? There's an old Woody Allen movie called Bananas.
Yeah.
Okay, and he gets caught up in the jungle fight with these revolutionaries and some black, banana republic, and they win.
And they put this guy in power, right?
Yeah.
And he comes out on the balcony and he goes, "From now on, underwear will be worn on the outside on Tuesdays and Thursdays." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I mean, this it puts me in mind to that. You know, guys are telling you from now on, any guy that wants to use the girl. It's unbelievable.
It is indeed. Strange new world we live in. But, yeah, it's a good thing that, that North Carolina is fighting and not succumbing to the political and economic pressure that's being brought to bear against them. So, yeah, good for them. Hey, Frank, I appreciate that. Excellent. Bye. Excellent phone call. Thank you so much. All right. I'd not seen that movie, but I get the picture, right? All right. Matt is up next. Matt, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey.
Hey, Matt, how you doing tonight? Thanks for calling.
I'm on. Okay, cool.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
This is my first time to call, guys.
Oh, thank you.
But I listen to you a lot, and I have wondered from the get-go. You guys have been strong for Trump from really the get-go, really from the get-go.
Yep.
I don't get it.
You don't get why?
I'm going to vote for him, he's not my guy.
I'm sorry.
As far as I'm concerned, all he's done is told us what we want to hear and does not give us any information to back anything up.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was speaking over you. Did you say you are or are not going to vote for him?
No. I'll vote
okay,
for him
okay,
because I'm
right.
A Republican. I'm a conservative guy.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Trump is not.
Okay. Let me see if I can explain it to your satisfaction. And I've said this repeatedly on the show, but there's a couple of things that I saw in Trump. And I talked about this on numerous occasions, and I said, for any of you other campaigns out there listening, here's why he is being successful. And it was from the very start. First of all, he has actually a very positive message. For a lot of people who feel beat down right now, Make America Great Again is the salve for their wounds.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Okay.
And that was part of the things that gave me pause to jump on board.
Okay, well, let me continue. There was that. Then there was what I kept saying all along, and this was in particular to a guy like Ted Cruz. This election is not going to be about who is the best conservative. It is going to be about who can solve the problems that have been lingering that are dragging down everybody's lives, in particular in the middle class. And I'm talking about this lackluster economy and this piss poor, I'm sorry, this very poor.
That's cool.
This very poor, I don't know if it is for the FCC, but it's this very poor economic recovery. And the illegal immigration is a huge issue with a lot of people because it's tied to their losing their jobs, at least in their mind it is, whether it is or not. Doesn't matter. It's their reality. And that he was tying into these issues and basically saying, look, I'm going to solve these problems.
That's exactly right, Chris. He said, I'm going to solve those problems, and then didn't give anything to back it up.
I understand.
Any details.
But this is
now,
where...
Now, let me ask you...
But let me finish. Let me address that point. Okay, hold on. Let me address the point you just made, and then I'll let you go. Go on. And that is that... He didn't have to, and here's why. None of the other guys were selling themselves as someone capable of solving the problem. They didn't really give him any competition. They were trying to beat him on him not being a conservative or him being, you know, supported liberals in the past and all this other. They got lost in the sauce. While he was banging home the basic message, they were all over the place because it was a different animal for them. Okay, go ahead.
I almost can't deny with or disagree with you there, but my next question is, what do you think is our biggest issue right now?
On most
politically,
on politically speaking, it's the economy,
the debt.
Well, that's tied
now,
into
that's the big huge
okay, and as a matter of fact, when it comes to Republicans, that is polling speaking, that is the second biggest issue, with the economy the first one. But see, I tie those two together.
Okay.
Because
I do too.
Yeah, and Mike's over here nodding.
Yeah, they're definitely
tied together. Your baby and your baby's baby is going to be dealing with that.
Exactly.
And I see everything that Trump is talking about is going to cost. I think that Trump may absolutely double Obama's number.
The double the debt. I'm pretty certain if we get Clinton, she will. And certainly if we get Bernie Sanders. Here's the thing, though, and this is what Trump realizes, and that is, in order to get out of this malaise that we're in order to work our way out of this debt that we're in, budget cutting ain't going to do it. We need to have serious economic growth, and the way you get that is you cut way back on this overregulation that we have now. You do something about Obamacare, and you cut the corporate income tax rate, which is a big part of his tax plan.
It's a big part, but then how do you pay our debt? Because that doesn't go away.
No, well, what happens is, first we got to balance the budget, and once we balance the budget, then we perhaps begin
to balance the budget without dealing with the debt.
First of all, we can make cuts in the growth of spending. We can cut spending back to where there's basically no growth.
We go to a baseline.
We get serious about our budgeting process. We quit throwing money, good money after bad money.
And you think that he's serious about that? Because I've not heard him talk.
Well, I know that he knows. I've heard him talk enough to know that he understands the reality of the severity of the debt, that cutting the budget is not going to do it. Cutting personal income taxes is not going to do it. You've got to cut corporate taxes severely, and you have to cut into the overregulations severely so that you spur economic growth and investment. Well, and then hopefully, like I say, you balance the budget and then begin to work down the debt, or begin to make the debt smaller.
I heard you work a word in there called hopefully.
Well, yeah, but see, it's always a hopefully when you're talking in this situation. But the bottom line is, Matt, we know we don't have a chance with Hillary. We know we do.
No, we don't have a chance with Hillary. Holy crap, we don't.
That's right.
That's without question.
Yeah, but
I don't know that we can with this guy. Come
but
on.
We don't.
I mean, we're like so. You guys have been so all in for Trump, and it's almost like you've. And I know you. It's almost like you've been making fun of people who are anti-Trump.
Well, I certainly don't.
I don't see Trump. All I see Trump is a big blustery guy that came on and said, you know, we're going to build a wall. And Mexico said, you're full of crap. Well, it's going to be 10 feet taller now. That's Trump to me.
Yeah, and that's...
He runs an ad on the TV and has a picture of his wife versus Cruz's wife, and he gets criticized for it. And he said, well, he did it first. I mean, he's all about... I hate that crap.
Well, unfortunately, I understand.
Other people.
I understand, but Mike...
A little of other people.
Matt, you got to understand that these tactics are Democrat tactics which have been used against us. He is turning it around on them.
I've never heard that before.
About what?
Those tactics that you're talking about that...
They're always the ones making the emotional argument, never really having any specifics for proposals and things like that. They're always the ones who are doing the character assassination. He's simply doing what works. This is why I said from the beginning, this guy, for you other candidates, if you want to take this thing to the finish line, watch what he's doing.
I didn't hear, you know, everybody likes to refer to Reagan. I don't remember that. Back in the day, maybe it was because it was back in the day. I have no idea, but
well, I do know this that back in the day, people were saying basically the same things about Reagan that they're saying about Trump, that he's a clown. He was just a stupid actor. Did you really want to have the nuclear codes in his hand? He was a warmonger and all this other stuff.
How old are you, Chris?
58. How old are you, Matt?
just a year older, but I don't remember hearing that stuff.
All right. Well, listen, I got to go because I got a break. But since you're our first caller, if you'll stay on the line, I'll send you some stuff. All right.
I'd love that.
All right. Stay on the line and give Nick your address and, your email address, and we'll take good care of you. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some more calls and want to get to talk to Mike Bass and tell you a little bit more about our website. So please stay with us. Oh, why can't this be love, right? I love calls like that. I really do. And, Mike, you wanted to say a couple words.
Yeah, this is a Matt, just I'm talking to you and anybody else out there. This is Mike Bass, by the way. This is not Mike McBath, because McBath is going to kill me if you thought people were going to believe this. I am not a Trumpster. I've never been a Trumpster. I'm not a never Trumpster. But here's the issue, is that Trump is going to grow the economy. That's the one thing I do believe about it.
Yeah.
I do believe that he understands growing the economy, and that's really, really important. And that's part of the way we're going to deal with the debt.
Yeah.
Is that we have to grow this thing. And you know, we've seen that for a long time, and that's not what Obama's been willing to do. He does not want our economy to grow, and he has done everything to keep from doing that. And the other thing that Trump's talking about doing that is to get rid of regulation. That's one of the biggest issues, is to remove the regulation on these businesses to grow the economy.
He said day one he would roll them back to 2008. Right. All new regulations, in other words, implemented during the Obama administration, he would roll them back.
Yeah. It's going to make a huge difference in business.
All right. Yeah. And once again, Mike Bass is PrimeQuest Wealth Strategies, a great sponsor of the show, and his ad is on our new website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Where can they find the ads? Once again, James, please, sir.
They have it there's a column here on the side, on the main page. It's called AA Army Sponsors.
There you go. We're making everything easy for you. And on that home page, we have put the Listen Live link. So if ever, you tune in on the radio station and the Rays are playing, go to the website, hit that Listen Live button, and it takes us right to the streaming signal. And right next to the Listen Live button is the call-in number for the show. So if you have, for some reason, I'm not saying it, and you don't hear it or whatever, you can go to our website and there's the call-in line for the number for when we are on the air. So we're making everything as simple as possible, and we're going to make it to where you're going to want to go to our website, hopefully on a regular basis. And one of these times when you go there, hopefully you will join the American Adversaries Army, like Dan earlier. He's a general. He's signed up as a general last week. And last night, Sherry called in. Sherry's been an enlistee. She wants to be a general now. So she's upping her rank. So please consider joining the American Adversaries Army so that, first of all, that we can continue doing what we're doing.
And our listeners can continue to argue with Chris.
That's right. And so we can expand the show as well, and you'll be a part of that. And if you go to the recruiting office page, what will they see there, James?
It's the subscribe link on the menu sticky that sits at the top of the page. They can click on the link that says subscribe, and there is a subscription comparison chart.
That's right.
Spells everything out.
That's right. And that chart is alive. It's dynamic. It will not stay the same. It will change. Now, we got a recruiting drive going on this month, and we might actually even be adding some things. And if we do, and if you've already joined, whatever we add, you will get along with what you've been promised on the chart already. All right? So please join the American Adversaries Army. Let's go back to the phone lines where we have Craig up next. Craig, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, I just wanted to update you guys on the Rafael Cruz Kennedy assassination situation.
The photograph, right.
I think it's going to become really big really quick. Apparently, right after the assassination in November, Rafael Cruz moved to Canada or fled there. Now, you can only imagine his state of mind as he saw Oswald being the patsy. There is if you do a search for familiar faces in Delaney Plaza, you'll see Oswald standing in a doorway on a white marble with a column doorway as the procession passes by. That's Oswald standing in the doorway, and then they framed it on him for whatever reason. The Bushes were involved. It just goes deeper and deeper than you could ever imagine.
Well, you know, it may go somewhere, but now that Ted Cruz is out of the race, I don't know that it will, but we'll certainly keep our eyes open on it. Now, I will say this. Both Rafael and Ted have both admitted that during this period of Rafael's life, he was not a pastor. He was on the other path. He was drinking heavily and doing things that we would normally consider not to be the best of behavior. So who knows what he was involved in? But
right. I would like him to answer one question: was he ever within 15 feet of Oswald in August or so of 1963?
Yeah. Well, like
just
I said,
answer that question.
If his son were still in the race, or if Ted ever gets to run again, perhaps we'll find out the answer. But in the meantime, I don't know that it'll happen. But Craig, thanks for the update on that. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, we got time for a couple more calls, so let's go to Mike. He's been holding patiently. Thank you, Mike, for calling and your patience. Mike,
I guess you got to be at least 50 to call in or something.
There's no age limit.
Okay, because I'm 53, so I got my street cred here.
All right.
And my wife's 40, so she's hot.
Look at you.
I just wanted to say to Matt, with all due respect, I think there's people who listen to Trump, and then there's people who listen to people who say what Trump says. And Trump, he's leading by example. He's got a skeleton crew for a campaign staff. He's not spending money, hand over fist like everybody else is. They've spent hundreds of millions of dollars against him. Hillary has, Jeb Bush did, everybody has, and he's still trucking right along.
Yeah.
And he will say in his, he goes, I don't have a big staff. Isn't that what you want? I got more people doing, or less people doing more.
Yeah, yeah.
And when Grant was on earlier, I think about Obama, and I think about Ben Rhodes and Gruber and all these people that they paid millions of dollars to. And it's not so they lie for Obama, because he's gifted in that department. They're getting paid to do his job. So what are we paying him for? I don't get this. And Trump will streamline everything. And if you listen to what he says, building the wall will put people to work. There's all kinds of things he says. And then it's taken out of context. The whole thing with the Muslims is, just stop it until we get a handle on it. It's not real complicated, but it gets twisted.
Yeah. It's funny, because if you examine most of his, actually, I think all of his proposals closely, they're pretty well based in common sense.
And he also,
I mean,
if
you got terrorists sneaking into the country under the guise of refugees or whatever, you stop it at least until you can make sure that the terrorists don't use that as an avenue to come here and attack us.
Right.
That's
and
just
Chris,
common
you
sense.
You said it was the Democrat playbook, and people have gotten so used to the Democrat playbook because they lie so proficiently. And they hold all the media sources. It's like Facebook, I guess, streamlines all or editorializes the input.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of really nasty.
Yeah. Listen, Mike, I appreciate it. I got to stop you right there, though, because I'm just simply out of time. But you're right. But things are different this time. And we'll hope for a different outcome as well. Mike, thanks for coming in. Kathy, James, great work on the website. And once again, folks, please check it out, AmericanAdversaries.com. It's a great new website, and we'd love to hear your comments about it. And you folks with the calls tonight, great calls. We appreciate each and every one. And for you folks who've been calling in to get the tickets, we'll continue to do this until we run out of tickets. So if you didn't get them tonight, unless we gave away a whole lot tonight, we'll have a few more at least to give away tomorrow night. So once again, AmericanAdversaries.com. Stick around. Larry Elder's coming up next. The Rays don't play until 10 o'clock tonight. Same thing tomorrow night. Wednesday, however, we'll get preempted off the airwaves. So go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and hit that Listen Live button, and you'll be able to hear us on Wednesday. Of course, if you've downloaded the free app into your smart device, you can listen to us there. We'll be back with the full show Thursday because the Rays are off, and then, of course, we'll be back here Friday as well. So, once again, AmericanAdversaries.com. Thank you so much, and night, everybody.